fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Today's the exaltation of the Holy Cross. The church remembers that instrument of torture and death, the cross, in the devil's plan to destroy Christ, becomes the symbol of the greatest victory possible. It's through the cross that we have been set free. So the church reminds us of God's plan and the work of salvation and the unique thing that happened on Calvary when the love of God was revealed in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his son. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, St. Paul tells us. And there the great battle that saved us and freed us happened right there on the cross. The shedding of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ has made it possible for human beings to be reconciled to God through the cleansing of, really, the washing away of our sin through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Today's readings at Mass are from Numbers 21. It's a story of the people of Israel have escaped from Egypt, and they're wandering in the desert, and they're complaining. They're complaining about the lack of food. There's a line there that says, "We are disgusted with the wretched food we've been given." They're grumbling at Moses. They're grumbling at God. They're complaining, a lot like me, a lot like many of us. And it says that God punished them, disciplined them, really, for their attitude and unwillingness to be grateful to God and to trust him and to follow him. And it says, in punishment, the Lord sent among the people seraph serpents, which bit the people so that many of them died. Then the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned in complaining against the Lord. And you pray to the Lord for us to take the serpents away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a seraph and mount it on a pole. And if any who have been bitten look at it, they will live." Moses accordingly made a bronze serpent and mounted it on a pole. And whenever anyone who had been bitten by a serpent looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. So the people of Israel and their wandering in the desert are a type of the people of God today, and really a type of the whole world in a certain way. So here's Israel complaining against God, not trusting him, not being grateful, not being thankful. And the Lord disciplines them, and their complaining leads them into sin, leads them into a place where they end up experiencing the discipline of wandering from God, of turning from God's way, of not being grateful to God. And then God provides a way out. He provides a way out by commanding Moses to create the bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and raise it high so people can see it. And as they gaze on it, they're freed. Literally, they're safe from death. And so Jesus takes up and reminds us, really, the whole meaning of his cross and the exaltation and power of the cross in the gospel reading that's offered today. It's John 3, chapter 3. The whole chapter is such a beautiful one. Most people know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him would not die, but would have everlasting life." Here, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. The whole discourse, the conversation with Nicodemus is there in that chapter. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." So just as the Israelites in the desert gazed on the pole, those who had been bitten by serpents and were going to die, they gazed on that serpent on the pole, the bronze serpent, and they were healed. So Jesus is saying that's a type. It's a pointing toward really what all of human history was moving toward in the fullness of time. God was not only dealing with his people Israel and revealing to them their condition and relationship to him, and their need to be in right relationship with him. And he taught them what sin is. He taught what it meant to be separated from God. He also taught them about what's holy and how to be united to God. And all of what happened with Israel is a type of pointing to what God's doing through his church and wants to do for the whole world. The whole world is separated from God, is, as St. Paul would say, dead in their sins. And we live with the sin problem, which produces the death problem in us. We're in a condition of slavery. St. Paul said, sin reigns over the human race. So we're all dying. We're beings toward death. Jesus came to deal with not just healing people from being bitten by a serpent, but literally to heal the entire human race that has been bitten by the serpent from the garden, Satan himself, who's led us into rebellion against God, separated from God, and as a result, subject to the powers of sin and death. Jesus came to deal with that problem. It's for that reason that he was lifted up on the cross in Calvary. It's through the shedding of his blood, his precious blood, that the sin problem is taken away. St. Paul reminds us, or the writer of Hebrews reminds us, that it's through the shedding of blood, the precious blood of Christ, that our consciences are cleansed. The sin, the guilt, the shame, the condemnation, all of it is taken away. And we're washed clean, we're made new by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the victory, that's the exaltation of the cross. That's why we exalt the cross, because it's the instrument of ultimate victory for the human race. And it's the instrument of glory for God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified on that cross in obedience. And the beautiful passage from Philippians chapter 2 is given to us as well in today's reading. Philippians 2, 6 through 11, it says, "Brothers and sisters, Christ, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, and coming in human likeness. And he was found in human appearance. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." That exaltation, the recognition of Jesus' glory, is tied directly to his humbling himself and being obedient to God the Father, even unto death, being willing to die in order to obey God. So much is revealed in that great mystery, and so much is accomplished in that great deed of love that Jesus really performed for us on Calvary. He went to the cross in obedience to the Father. Remember what Jesus told so many during his life and his ministry. He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. It's literally his life, his food. And what's revealed on the cross is a great meditation. I'm so thankful that the church, we continue the Catholic Church to have crucifixes in our churches, and hopefully you have crucifixes in your home. And to be able to meditate on the mystery of what's happening on the cross, that deed that saved us, that act of love by which we are saved, and the power of evil and sin is broken. And what made it possible, and what Paul tells us in his letter to the Philippians, is Jesus humbled himself. He who made all things were made through him and for him. He entered his own story. It's his story. He entered his own creation. He humbled himself and united himself to human flesh, creaturely human flesh. God, in the person of his son Jesus, literally took on human flesh. He humbled himself so that he could be for God the Father what each one of us was meant to be, was created to be. And he could be for us. He could show us why we're here. What's the purpose of life? What does a good life look like? What does a successful life look like? A successful life is a life where we fulfill our destiny. We fulfill the purpose for which we were made. And what was that? To love God, to trust God, and to obey God. Sin has turned us. Sin is the expression of refusal to love God, to honor him, to obey him. Jesus humbled himself and said yes to the Father, and he gave to God what belongs to God. Remember that wonderful line, one of the wisest lines ever in human history, when the Pharisees are trying to trick Jesus, and they show him a coin with Caesar's image on it. He said, "Are we supposed to pay taxes or not?" And essentially, there's a lot going on in that story, but Jesus says, "Give to Caesar what's Caesar's, but give to God what is God's." That's a powerful truth and a challenge and exhortation from Jesus to us. On the cross, Jesus was giving to God what belongs to God. Finally, there is a human being who freely offers himself his entire life to the fundamental reason for which he was made, and that is to give to God love, trust, obedience. And it takes humility to break human pride. And there Jesus breaks the pride of Satan, who says, "I will not serve," breaks the pride of the power of sin that's at work in every human heart that says, "My will be done, not your will be done." Jesus is there. "Father, not my will, but yours be done." That's the road to success, friends. That's the road to ultimate fulfillment. That's a human life that's reaching its meaning, its ultimate end, what God made it for. Jesus hanging on that cross with his arms spread, bleeding and dying. He looks at you today and he says, this is the road to victory. My cross can break the power of sin over your life. I can wash you clean and I can give you a new life. I can heal your relationship with my Father. And I can give you through my cross the one antidote that you need, the antidote to the sin that binds you. Friends, if you're listening to the program today, maybe you stumbled onto the program, you're not a Christian, you're not even sure the whole story. This is the center of Christianity right here, is the death of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him would not die, but would have everlasting life. St. Paul reminds us so clearly. He says that God has made us his righteousness. That is, we who were not righteous and standing in right relationship to God, Jesus, who is the one who's in right relationship to God, and he takes our place. He dies for our sin. On our behalf, he gives to God what we were destined to give to God. It says here in chapter 4 of Romans, there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an expiation by his blood to be received by faith. Jesus became a sacrifice for our sin. And by faith, we receive the gift of that offering on our behalf. And faith is the abandonment, a surrender of our lives and trust to God. Chapter 5 of Romans, Paul tells us, but God shows his love for each one of us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we are now justified, that is, made right with God. We stand in right relationship to God, justified by his blood. Much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Reconciled by his death, saved by his life, brought back into right relationship with God because our sin, our rebellion against God is dealt with on the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's through the cross of Christ and then in baptism, in that same chapter 3 of John, Jesus says to Nicodemus, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because it's in baptism that when we're plunged into baptism, we're united to the cross of Jesus Christ. And original sin and the power of the enemy over us is broken and we're washed clean and then given the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, the victory of the cross is revealed in the fact that we're made a new creation, a new creation by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, who now conforms us to the person of Jesus Christ, and Jesus gives us his power to pass from death to life. The ultimate victory we each receive from Jesus Christ is because he died on a cross for us. And it gives us the promise of eternal life to share with him in heaven forever. God bless you. Have a great day. Let's exalt the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.